Welcome to the Dental Health Summit. I am today very blessed to have Dorte Bredgaard here talking with us. Dorte is a holistic dentist from Denmark, or maybe you want to introduce yourself more detailed.
Yes, I'd love to. Yes, I used to be a dentist. I used to be a traditional dentist. And then at some point I called myself a holistic dentist. But you see, when you are a holistic dentist, you still treat symptoms. And I wanted to do more than that. So then I had a period where I called myself a spiritual dentist. Mm-hmm. And 2.5 years ago, I had to give up my license. So actually, I'm not a dentist. I'm not allowed to call myself a dentist anymore. So today I call myself a specialist in dental health. So if we focus on the health instead of the diseases.
Wonderful. Yeah. So you wrote a great book, which I just absolutely absorbed. This is called Teeth Don't Lie. And it's this is a revelation. It's really a revelation because you're watching behind the scenes. So what is really going on behind? So, I mean, many people know about the tooth and meridians and organ connections, but you're looking at it at a completely different way. So when talking about just listeners who hear you the first time, what is your take on the development of cavities?
All diseases come from within. And when I heard that expression many years ago, I was, how can that happen? It's, you know, we've always been taught that it's bacteria and it's sugar. But today I know that's correct, that every disease comes from within. So if we have a cavity, it's our own energy that breaks down the tooth. And actually, it's very logical because if you don't express your emotions, if you get really angry at somebody, you are just, you want to curse and everything. But if all these words don't come out of your mouth, it's not that the energy just gives up and disappears. Energy never just disappears, it transforms. And the energy goes inward and is used to break down the tooth instead. So bacteria are always secondary. Bacteria are only present when some tissue is dead or dying. And if you have fruit lying in a room and maybe you forgot to eat your fruit and it's ripe and it's more than ripe, and then suddenly you see these small flies, banana flies, mm-hmm. flying around, and you say, where did they come from? They came out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with bacteria. Bacteria are always accessible if some tissue is dead or dying. Mm-hmm. Bacteria would never attack living tissue.
That's an interesting take. Very, very interesting. Can we just talk about children's teeth? There is this, it's a lot happening in Germany. I guess this is everywhere the same. This, for some reason, teeth seem to be suddenly crumbling away, the children's teeth. And scientists say, okay, this is too less vitamin D. This comes from plastics, from antibiotics, from vaccinations. And interesting is that some parents, they say, okay, this happened within a few days. Suddenly it happened that from a nice looking tooth, and it's crumbling away.
I haven't heard some people where it's within days. There are cavities, and then there are this what they call enamel mistakes. I don't know what they call them in Germany, where the teeth are less mineralized. The teeth are born with a flaw. And I believe that this is something that happened to the child when the tooth was developed, that the child had some kind of shock, and this shock hit the right tooth, the tooth where the mental shock hit. So this it is a very difficult process to make a tooth and to create the enamel, and with if something happened, then of course the body gets this all these senses and what I have discovered is that the number six tooth, the yes. one that erupts when the child is around 6 years old, it's often that tooth that is affected with these flaws. And these children are always very intelligent at some point. And I asked a mother to a son some years back and asked her if her son was very intelligent, and she said, "Oh yes, he can all the math that he had to learn for 9 years, and he has only been in school for 2 years, so he's helping his comrades." So I believe that some shock happened that brings maybe the soul out of the body, and they get some knowledge that they bring back. I don't know if that's the right explanation, but they always have some skills that is extraordinary.
Very interesting. Yeah. Have you experienced like that, for example, that sometimes from the children's teeth, like even the front teeth, the enamel seems to be like soft and easy to crumble?
I think it's the same. As I have seen, you know, I have seen very little children in real life, their teeth at least. But I have had many photos sent by parents, and some of the front teeth I have seen, I cannot determine if it's decay or if it's this
mineral deficiency. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that
combination.
And that could also be some emotional impact. What happened and caused the teeth to develop in that way rather than grow strong.
Yes. There are always emotions behind it.
Yeah. Like staying with the children's teeth, this is about orthodontics. Like, for example, what causes children's teeth to like grow not aligned, to come in a like very unique way, let's put it like that way?
Yes. I think putting braces on children's teeth is a very arrogant thing to do. Because when we do that, we assume that nature had made a mistake. We assume that humans are much wiser than nature. And nature is always much wiser than humans are. So if the teeth are not aligned, it's because it shows their personality. You can read personality by the way the teeth are positioned. So, for instance, the number two, when you come from the middle, mm-hmm. the number two, is about our ambitions. And if number two are very prominent, it means that this child or this grown-up has a lot of energy and maybe a perfectionist. So a lot of energy, just working. But if those teeth are in the back, it means that you don't have a lot of energy. It means that you are, some people will call it lazy, but lazy is very judgmental. So I call it selectively excited.
Very good expression.
Yes. Because it doesn't mean that you don't have ambitions, but it has to make sense. You don't just want to use a lot of energy on things that doesn't make any sense to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good point.
And I have one of each. I have my left, which is the creative, the emotional side. This one is very perfectionistic. Whereas on the rational, I am much more lazy. You know, if I have to do something, it has to make sense to me. Otherwise, I get really lazy.
Good point. Yeah. What happens on an emotional, spiritual level when teeth are forced in position?
You build in a conflict. Mm-hmm. No, it's like showing a face that is not yours.
Wow.
So we do that on children, and that's abuse in my world.
This is so interesting. Like for example, very often, like once it's done without a retainer, the teeth are moving anyway back to the original position because they don't want to be there. Yeah.
Precisely. Yes. Yeah. I have heard when a retainer falls off after 30 years, and then the teeth will move back into position. And if you just think about it, it's not like the teeth say, "Whoa, now we are free. Now let's move." No. Every hour, every second, these teeth are trying to move back. So you can just think what a tension there is in the tissue.
Yeah. Wow.
This is man-made.
Yeah. Very often this happens, like saying 50 plus, that the front teeth, especially the lower front teeth, start being crooked. Like they just turn inwards, they start overlapping each other. What happens there? I mean, doctors say, okay, this is a mineral deficiency, that's obvious, vitamin D is missing. What happens on an emotional level here?
I have never thought about it in this way. You know, when we're, as a dentist, we are taught that the lower jaw, it grows for a longer time, and then it's because of the way that the teeth are positioned that they want to move forward, and then they just have to overlap. But I think it's individual what is happening. I think it's not showing yourself so much anymore. It's mm-hmm. like the energy, the outgoing energy is maybe being stopped.
It's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Sometimes people have like, so I had a just last week in the consultations that some portions of teeth are just chipping off, just at instant, like seemed like a perfectly good tooth and portions chip off, or sometimes even half of it break off. And it's sometimes surprising that there is not a big cavity inside, which was like, would say natural, this was an unstable tooth. What happens here?
Teeth chip when you make yourself smaller.
Okay, so that was a drastic reduction of like one's own space.
Yes, you know, I want to tell you a little story. 3 years ago, there was a bird that built a nest in a blackbird that built a nest in my stable, and it was very trusting because it built it so I could just look down in the nest and I could have destroyed the eggs if I wanted to. But I had a chance to see the development, and after some time there were four small naked birds, and in no time, I believe 2 or 3 weeks, these small naked birds were fully grown. And a nest is only built to one bird. So when they had reached that size, they had only one option. They had to fly. And if they didn't want to fly, they would have to make themselves smaller to stay in the nest.
Wow.
And that's what many people do. Many people, they know, oh, they can feel, oh, my job is not so nice anymore, or my marriage, but I don't know what will happen if I just quit my job or my marriage. So I just better stay here. And then they make themselves smaller.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm just listening to this. I'm just concluding. Like, this is very often, like, for example, like, children when they're teenager and they're on the way to be grown-ups, and they don't want to, or it's difficult for them to decide where life is going to, and to be not forced somehow from the parents to just go on and live your own life, it's possible to make themselves smaller, and that might be absolutely not very optimal for good dental health.
No, of course not. But I think it's not so often that children, they chip their teeth. It's it's a lot more common in grown-ups.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I personally have discovered is that we have a nest, and this nest, we outgrow our nest, and we do that several times. And many people, they have jobs they don't really like anymore. So they take up the space for somebody who would really love having this job.
Good point. Yeah. Really good point. So I'm thinking about this is like very, like many kids, many teenagers, who have like issues with dental health. Could it also be that they're not living their full potential? Like, I mean, not chipping, but just generally.
Absolutely. You can sometimes see teenagers with the gum is really red and really inflamed. And that is really a sign that they are not thriving.
Mm-hmm. Just when you talk about the gums, like, so the difference between when does something affect the gums and when does something affect the teeth directly? Is there a line, or is there something where you can say, okay, this is most often this way, or this is most often that way?
there's a specific basic emotion behind every disease.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have gum diseases, it's compromising with yourself.
Mm.
And if you have a cavity, it's if that you feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that if something is happening to the gum, it's a lighter, it's easier to transform. You can have a bleeding gum that stops the same day that you find out, oh, it's because of this. So you can transform that. It, of course, it takes a lot longer time with a tooth.
Can you just say some examples about what kind of things, or maybe you have some, like some stories, what kind of emotions or real life issues can affect the gums?
Yes, I can tell you a story about my own life. In the beginning, I call the cause of bleeding gum was loss of identity,
mm-hmm.
which is the same as compromising with yourself. And some years ago, I went to a meeting in Denmark. I had to take the ferry, and I was meeting with three other therapists, and they wanted to have a physical course where they were craniosacral therapists, and they wanted me to come as well. And on this meeting, I had taken the ferry early in the morning, and I was really at peace, and I was really down low in energy. And then I met the others, and they were two women, and they had been driving together, and they had been talking, and they were really, and you know, when they met me, there was such a huge difference in our energy level, and it was like they were all over me, and I was not so known at that time. People didn't know me. So they were, oh, you should take that course, and you should do that, and you should do that. Do you mean emotions or feelings? Or, you know, they were all over me. And I was in that meeting at the end, I thought, I don't know anything. I was, you know, that was exactly on me. And then the same evening, my gum went so sore and was swollen and red, and it was bleeding. I said, yes, oh, I really lost my identity today.
Wow. Yeah, I can confirm, like seeing others, that this goes at instant. Yeah.
Yes. Very quickly.
Like even pain in the teeth can come at an instant and go at an instant when the problem is solved.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
So if people have pain, they should always think, oh, what is going on right now in my life? I had a client who had toothache, and then a morning she woke up and there were no pain, and then she started getting ready to go to work, and then the pain just came back, and she called the work and say, I'm not coming today, and she had an appointment with the dentist. And then the pain stopped again. So the body is very precise in the way it talks to us.
Yes. So I noticed, like for me, like pain in the tooth starting, I was at some meeting and they wanted to make some deal about a seminar, and I didn't feel quite right about it. And on the way home, I had this like pounding toothache. And when I came home, I immediately called them because I knew what my teeth were telling me, and it stopped at that instant.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so logical. So why is this a secret?
Yeah. So for example, when a decay is developing, I mean, sometimes people are surprised to find a cavity, which is like, oh, how did that happen? How did that get here? Would you say this take, like from your experience, this takes quite a while that this is developing, or things can really come at like within a few days, there is not just a bit, like there is a little bit bigger bit of cavity?
A cavity can develop very quickly, but I don't think it's within days.
Mm-hmm.
No, in the beginning, it's only on the inside, and then the enamel, if the cavity grows bigger, then the enamel will crack, it will, because of the being undermined, and then you see, whoa, this is a huge cavity.
Mm-hmm.
Decay doesn't hurt. It doesn't give pain unless it's really close to the dental pulp. Then mm-hmm. it starts aching. But for a long time, you cannot feel it. But I believe that the body will always tell you that something is wrong here. And it will create symptoms. And symptoms can be some food that always is stuck the same place, or it can be the bleeding gum. Or I have a really good example for myself, because 6 years ago I discovered that I had cavities in my two last teeth. So when it was the last, there couldn't be food stuck there, but my body was really smart, so it found another way. It suddenly made the tooth sharp. It didn't change form or anything, but all of a sudden it could, you know, really tear my tongue apart. It was, I could feel it all the time. And then this one stopped, and then the other one began. And it took me actually many years to discover that this was actually my body talking to me. Last summer, I had an experience that shaped me. And then this tooth became sharp again. So then I knew, whoa, this cavity has been passive for 6 years. Now it's been active again. So the body will always tell you there's something you have to look into.
Mm-hmm. As soon as the issue is changed, like it can be that you feel good about your tooth, that it suddenly doesn't feel sharp again?
When I had solved the problem, yes. And then it stopped being sharp.
So one question which arises here, like, is, how important is it, or when is it important to go to a dentist and have like a tooth arranged? I mean, I guess you would say anyway, work on your thing, obviously. But when is it really a good idea to have a dentist fix a tooth?
I recommend having a tooth fixed if you are afraid that you cannot deal with this. If mm-hmm. if you work on the problem, but if you every day you think, oh, what if this cavity gets very large and I get toothache, then it's better not to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't want to have teeth that are not perfect shape, because this tradition that if we chip something or if we have a cavity, then we must fix it. I have a finger. I've lost a finger. And if this was a tooth, then it would have to be built up in plastic or...
Mm-hmm.
Gold could be nice. But if you don't want to have your teeth not perfect, then of course you should go to the dentist. But in a perfect world, you should be aware that something is going on. You should act on it and then reverse the disease.
So the traditional dentistry, they try to tell us like a tooth has to always have a perfect opposite bite. How do you feel about this? I mean, I know from my clients, there are people, they have like for years and years, not the opposite tooth. And it doesn't seem to bother them, but how do you feel about this?
Yes, dentists say it has to be, otherwise the tooth will elongate.
Yes,
and it that happens sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. If people have an overbite or open bite, I have an open bite. You see, these teeth, they don't meet each other. So why didn't it just come down? Mm-hmm. And I believe that if you have a tooth removed and the opposite will go down, I believe that it's because the one that gets longer tries to take over, just like helping this area of life, give it more power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting point. Yeah. Other thing is like when people like, for example, have a mouth with a few cavities, like dentists try to tell us, okay, this is like no good because teeth can affect each other. I mean, other thing is like bacteria can live here, and dentists want always an absolutely white, clean, perfect mouth.
I can prove that it doesn't affect each other. I can prove that, because you can have two teeth right next to each other, and there can be a huge cavity in one of them, and the one right next to it is completely healthy.
Yes.
And the same with periodontal disease. You can have one tooth that is loose and the next two teeth, they are completely healthy.
Oh,
and you know, they talk about if you have a spouse with a periodontal disease, you don't get affected by it. It doesn't, your teeth will not get bad because your spouse has.
So interesting what you just mentioned, that for example, in a healthy mouth, it can be just one tooth where the gum is receding, a tooth which maybe starts getting loose. What happens here?
We have to look at the areas of life. Every tooth represents an area of life.
Could we just go through from 1 to 8, just quickly move through?
Yes. The upper, the number one, is the expressing power. In the lower mouth, you call it the outgoing power.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. And then number two, ambitions. Number three, the canine, is the willpower. Number four is care and responsibility. Number five is love, self-esteem, self-respect. Number six is being useful. And in the upper mouth, it's being useful to the people around you, the close relationships. In the lower mouth, it's more about schooling, education, and job. Number seven is the dominator, the authority. That means if you have issues with number seven, it's your authority is being too small and somebody else's is being too big, so they can dominate you. And number eight is the wisdom teeth. It's when you have problems with them, it's because you are concerned about the future.
Interesting. Okay, so just when if we're taking like one of the like the front lower teeth starts moving, like what happens sometimes with some people, like what could that mean in the emotional level?
When you say moving, is that changing position?
No, it feels loose. Feels
yes.
Loose.
When it feels loose, it's the surrounding tissue, the gum, no, not the gum, the bone, the jawbone, mm-hmm. that is going away. And the jawbone is your supporting tissue. So if your tooth gets loose, it's you feel a lack of support from the surrounding.
That can be the family
In the upper mouth, it's normally the family of close friends. In the lower mouth, it's the distant relationships.
Okay.
And what is really important in this feeling, lack of support, is the energy of being a victim.
Oh, okay.
And that is so hard for most people to recognize that, oh yes, I feel as a victim. Most people, they get, so many people have been angry with me because I say it's the victim energy. But I can guarantee that if you are brave enough to look into the victim role energy and transform it, then the periodontal disease will disappear completely.
Can we just look into this, because I think this is an issue for many people, this kind of victim business. Like if we're just taking like the lower front teeth and one is for example a bit loose, so like maybe you can help to have a look at in what area can somebody feel a victim? How can they how are they experiencing this?
You know, it's also always different which tooth it is.
So if it's the lower front, for example.
Yes, but there are four teeth.
Okay.
You see, the right side is the rational side. So if we take, for instance, the number two in the right side, that's ambitions for the world. So if that one is loose, it can be you have this very intense ambitions for the world, but you don't get support in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's supporting you, and you see clearly what you want to do and what needs to be changed. And if you have no support in it, this can be really mm-hmm. devastating.
Wow, this is so interesting. Wow.
The outgoing force, the two centrals, it's mm-hmm. also the sexual energy. And I just want to tell you a story. I don't know why, but it just came in. Mm-hmm. When I was still working as a dentist, I had a patient, an elderly lady, and we talked a little private, and she said she had some itching down there. And especially when she came to bed, it was really bad. And I just asked her, well, is it because your husband still want to have sex and you don't want to? And she said, no, it's actually the opposite. She needed the intimacy, but he couldn't anymore. And the next patient was him. And he didn't have these two teeth anymore. He had a denture. But so it's really the energy was gone.
Wow. So now what makes me think, like, for example, just in case somebody is listening to this and say, oh my God, they have a denture here. What can somebody like substitute to like fill up this energy, even the teeth are not there?
Yes, I also say that new teeth are new chances.
Mm-hmm.
So if the denture could actually mean that, yes, I want to do it again, but mm-hmm. if you have to kind of water this,
mm-hmm.
this want, this energy.
Can it also affect like what feelings people do have to their like tooth substitutes? Like if somebody is getting a like an artificial tooth and they say, oh, wow, now I look great again. Or others say, oh, my God, now I have this stuff in the mouth and I really didn't want it.
Yes, absolutely. No, mm-hmm. when the number six, that's about job, about work. For some people, working is, it has to be hard and you have to be really tired and exhausted. And, you know, they really... work hard, and then at some point the energy is used up and tooth has to be pulled out. And if they don't realize that, oh, I have been working much too hard all my life, I want to change that. If they get this implant, for example, and say, well, now I can work hard again. But if the body says, well, I worked so hard all my life, there's nothing left. Then this implant will, either it will give a lot of pain or maybe it will just fall out.
Oh, wow, Dottie, this is so amazing, so interesting what you have to tell. I know that you're doing like online courses in Denmark. Wouldn't
yes.
it be possible to have an English online course? Because I guess this is like for everybody, absolutely amazing what you have to say. Wow.
It is possible. I actually had one course in English already. So I'm ready to make a new one.
Okay.
In English.
Okay. Wow, this is really amazing. Really, really amazing. Wow. So for all our English listeners, please go to, how do you have like your English book also as an ebook?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is also actually a printed book, but since I'm in Denmark, it's not so easy to sell paperbacks in other countries. For the
yes.
shipping at all.
Okay, so we can put below the video the link where your book can be purchased. And
yes.
Like, I guess somebody who is listening to you and has their own unique dental issue, do you do one-on-one consultations? Can you be contacted?
Yes, I can. I do make one-to-one.
Okay, so like also like as we are doing like a Skype or like this on Zoom?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Perfect, okay. So we can blend in the contact details where somebody can contact you.
Yes.
Perfect, wonderful.
That'd be nice, yes.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And you know, if many people want to, you know, it takes a lot of time to have one-to-one sessions.
Yes.
And that makes me think that I really want to educate people. I want to educate people at different levels. The online course is really compact. You know, I teach people everything about teeth so they have a chance to understand their own teeth. But I also want to educate people to do what I do, because sometimes we need people to help us see through the problem.
Yes. So do you have like different courses, like one for everybody who has an issue, and one for like people who want to learn your work?
I don't have that yet.
Okay. But that would be so amazing.
Yes. I think this knowledge has to go around the world.
Wonderful.
Because who loves going to the dentist? I mean, I don't.
Well, for our German listeners, you already have your book in German available. It's also as an ebook. And we will place the link below where it can be purchased. Did you ever think, or that would be, is that difficult to do, like set up a translation from your course into German?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe I don't know if it's best to translate the English or the Danish course into German. You know, I'm a lot better in Danish. That's what holds me a little back from the English online. I have tried a long time to make it in English, and I actually have done it now. But you know, so I'm a little shy, and oh, can I speak English good enough? And
oh yes,
but it's so. Maybe there's a little more details in my Danish language than there is in the English.
Perfect.
So maybe we could just translate both of them.
Yeah, cool. Wow. Thank you so much, Dorte. It's always a blessing talking to you. This is a revelation. Thank you so much.
It really warms my heart. Thank you.